This morning, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'd like to direct your attention to verse number 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 6. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church family in Thessalonica, says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Would you say that with me this morning? Ready? "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." This morning, God helping me, I would like to speak to you about the biblical subject of spiritual slumber. Spiritual slumber is a serious epidemic that is causing great harm to the cause of Jesus Christ. And I believe one of the main reasons why churches today are weak and dying. The sad reality of finding Christian soldiers sleeping on the battlefield when they ought to be fighting the good fight of faith has led to the great spiritual drought that is present among our young generation at this time. Spiritual drowsiness has led to sinful compromises unashamedly welcome in the lives of believers. Blatant hypocritical practices being embraced by churches that were once faithful and true to God's word, and a casual spirit that is now normal among Christianity as a whole. As we look to the Word of God, specifically to Paul's ministry to the churches that he wrote to, it is evident that spiritual sleepiness among believers is nothing new. The day in which we live, traced with or laced with spiritual slumber, is the same that Paul dealt with in his day. The truth is, God's people have always been susceptible to spiritual slumber. God's people have always needed a preacher, a human trumpet, that is to say, to wake them out of their sleep and spur them to stay awake so that they might faithfully serve the Lord Jesus Christ. As we open this letter of 1 Thessalonians, we read of Paul's heart to the church. Paul is not hard, if you will, as he was to the church in Corinth. As Paul writes to Corinth, he is writing with rebukes and reproofs because they are not walking in a manner that is worthy before the Lord. His heart is with the church of Corinth, but he has a relatively strong message to awaken them out of their spiritual slumber, to awaken them out of their sleep. As we look at this letter written to these Thessalonians, we find that Paul is very gracious. He's very comforting. He is one as a father who is taking his young children into his lap and seeking to pour his love into their lives. But here in this passage, we read that Paul, loving the church, does not want them to fall prey to the spiritual temptations that have strangled so many. And one of those spiritual temptations are the temptations to fall asleep spiritually. Paul, in this letter, specifically in verse 6, gives believers the antidote to staying alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, he is setting forth a preventative so that they do not fall prey to this spiritual slumber that he speaks about. In life, preventatives are always a help. You go to the doctor annually and have a checkup. You may not be sick. There may be no serious problems. But those doctor visits are a preventative. You are checked out, as it were, so that you will not become sick, or that you will not come to know something years later that could have been prevented. And same thing with our vehicles. Our vehicles are often taken in for a tune-up. And those tune-ups are a help to ensure that the car lasts as far as the years go. And so Paul here is giving a preventative. He does not want the believers in Thessalonica to fall asleep. And so he tells them, "Let us not sleep as do others, But let us watch and be sober. This morning, I want to consider Paul's threefold preventative on spiritual sleep. But let's consider first what spiritual slumber is and why spiritual slumber is so serious. What is spiritual slumber? He says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Already in the reading of the verse, we know that Paul is not speaking of a physical sleep because he tells us to be watchful and to be sober. Looking at the context, we read that Paul is referring to a spiritual sleep. Those who are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, those who are born again by the Spirit of God, are to be lights in this world. And not only lights, but bright and burning lights for the gospel. And the Apostle Paul notes this in verse 4, but ye brethren, you are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Spiritually speaking, if we are in Christ, we are in the light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. If we are in Jesus Christ, we have been translated from darkness to light, spiritually speaking. And Paul is using all these terms to remind us of who we are in Christ and to remind us of our liveliness in the gospel. And then he turns verse 6, therefore, since we are in Christ, since we are in the light, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. In defining spiritual sleep, it is helpful to consider the features of physical sleep. And what is physical sleep? If we are to understand spiritual sleep, what is physical sleep? Well, I think it would be helpful to boil this down to three responses. To be asleep physically is to be physically unresponsive. When someone is asleep and another tries to speak to them, typically the one sleeping is unresponsive. And you may be a light sleeper and somebody tries to speak to you, but you may come back into existence, so to say, and say, what, huh? Did you say something? But you're unresponsive. Your loved one may try to wave their hand in front of you and get your attention, but if your eyes are closed and you are in the state of sleep, there's no flinching of the hand waved in front of your face because sleep means to be physically unresponsive. To be asleep physically is also to be physically unaware of reality. When one is asleep, they are unaware of the change that is going around outside. For instance, somebody may be asleep during the night, and the weather drops and the rain turns into snow, but in the comfort of their bed as they are asleep, they are unaware of the reality outside. As one sleeps, they are unaware of news that is going around the world. They are unaware what others may be doing in another room. So to be asleep physically is to be physically unresponsive. It means to be unaware of reality. And to be asleep physically is to be physically inactive. I know these are simple truths, but stay with me. You'll see the parallel here shortly. It is to be physically inactive. When one is asleep, they are at rest. They are not walking. They're not working. They're not eating. They are asleep, physically inactive. Now, we know by studies that the brain is still active. The brain doesn't die or go to sleep, so to speak. But the body is inactive. Your eyes are closed. How can we tell if one is spiritually asleep or drifting into a state of spiritual sleep? Well, we parallel what we know of physical sleep and apply it to the spiritual realm. To be asleep spiritually is to be unresponsive. Unresponsive to what? Well, unresponsive ultimately to God. You remember Israel of old, and their strayings into sin and rebellion, and God sending his prophets. And the prophets would speak, "Thus saith the word of God." And the hearts of the Israelites were hard. Their necks were stiff. And they would not budge. And what are they? They are spiritually asleep. They are unresponsive to God's word. They are exposed to the truth, to the revelation of God, but they are deaf to it. Like one in the night who's asleep. You try to talk to them. You say, "Are you hearing me? Are you there? Are you awake?" No response. And so one who is asleep spiritually is one who is unresponsive to God's word. They are unresponsive to the counsel of God. They are hearers of God's word, but not doers only. To be asleep spiritually is also to be unaware of spiritual realities. Just as one asleep physically does not know the change in the weather outside, does not know what an individual is doing in the other room, does not know about the events happening around the world because they are asleep, so the one spiritually asleep is not cognizant of what is going on in the spiritual realm. And they are like children tossed to and fro on every wind of doctrine. They are babes in Christ, unable to understand the meat of the word. There is no discernment. There is little wisdom, little understanding of the ways of God. And you have known people like this. They are spiritually asleep, and you talk to them about the most elementary truths of the Christian faith, and they look at you like you are dumb. They have no sanctified common sense. And we speak to them about the truths of God. And they look at you like a deer in the headlights. What is that? Unawareness of spiritual realities. And to be asleep spiritually is to be spiritually inactive in the work of God. Just as the physical body becomes inactive when it is asleep, and so in the spiritual realm, when somebody is asleep, they are spiritually inactive in the work of God. There's an apathy to spiritual things. There's a laziness that creeps in the heart. There's a kick back and relax type attitude. There's the warming of a pew, watching other laborers. And as they watch other laborers, there's the criticizing of those laborers who are faithfully serving in the work of God. And if we are honest in our observations toward many who profess Christ today, it is clear and sad to see that these characteristics are more common than uncommon. As we observe those who name the name of Christ, we observe that far too many Christians who are deaf towards sound preaching are those who flood the church. As we observe those who name the name of Christ, we observe that many are ignorant towards sound doctrine. They are careless and worldly in their actions, and they are infrequent in their worship of God. Somewhat, 70% of our country claims to be Christian. And how many pews do we have open, not here in this place, but all over the United States? There are many in years past, beloved, who have been among our family, our church family, who have fallen asleep to the things of God. And it may be that there are some here this morning who are falling asleep spiritually now. And we need to hear this message of Paul. We need to hear the preventatives that Paul gives. And we need to hear them for this reason. Our second point, why does Paul even care to bring this up in his writings? Why not let the Christians sleep? Why not let them be at ease spiritually? Well, he gives us a threefold answer. This is why spiritual sleep is so serious. Spiritual slumber is a poor testimony to the world. When the world views Christians unresponsive to God's word, unaware of spiritual realities, and inactive to the work of God, they are given a distorted view of what true Christianity is. When the unbelieving world sees unashamed hypocrites who profess to be separated unto God but have little desire for spiritual things, God becomes a source of mockery. You claim to know the power and grace of God. Your life is no different than mine. This becomes a poor testimony of the gospel. Why should I receive the Savior when it appears you haven't been saved from anything? And this is Paul's argument toward the Jews in Romans chapter 2. This is what Paul brings up regarding the blasphemy of unbelievers. He says, "Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you." What a sharp rebuke. Paul says, "Jews, you are asleep spiritually. You claim to hold to all these things. You claim to be better than everyone else, but by the testimony of your life, it is proof that you are asleep and that you are doing the same things. And this is a blasphemy among the Gentiles." The Gentiles are blaspheming the name of God through your spiritual sleep. And so we see that spiritual slumber produces a disgrace to the testimony of Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul is writing this. He does not want believers to be the source of disgrace upon the gospel. Paul is writing this also because spiritual slumber is a poison to God's work. Paul wants this church to thrive. He wants them to be a vessel of blessing to others. He wants them to carry forth the great commission of Jesus Christ. The church is the vessel to reach others for Christ. The preaching of the gospel in the community and the sending forth of laborers, the supporting of missions. And Paul does not want the work of God to be stopped in that place. We look at our day and we realize how things are. We wonder why 10% of the church is doing 90% of the work. Could it be that many are slumbering? Is it truly only 10% of the people that are alive and have a desire to work for the Lord? Why are we losing our generation? We can harp on the millennials all we want. We can shake our heads. And we can speak nasty things about them. But if they look to our lives, will they see that we are being active and alive in the work of God? Or do they see sleeping saints? Sleepy saints produce sleepy saints. Is the church more zealous for church dinners than the evangelistic outreach? Spiritual slumber wants to warm a pew but doesn't want to move a finger. Spiritual slumber produces churches who just merely go through the motions. So Paul is awakening the believers up to spiritual slumber because it is a poison to the work of God. It is a poor testimony to the world. And if we are here this morning, if our hearts have truly been transformed by God, our spirit within us should be crying out at this moment, "I do not want to be a sleepy Christian. I don't want to be the cause of being a disgrace to the testimony of Christ or a poison to the work of God. What preacher can I do to ensure that I do not give way to a horrible condition as such?" That should be our cry. And the truth is, all of us are susceptible to falling asleep spiritually, because all of us have a flesh that we battle, because our hearts often fail us. The temptations to slack a bit are very pressing. So how is spiritual slumber prevented? Well, Paul tells us here very clearly in the text, spiritual slumber is prevented by continually remembering the Lord is coming. Look at the context, verse 6 of chapter 5. Therefore, let us not sleep. Now we ask the common question, what is the therefore? That's a turn in his writing. Paul is making a point, but he is using another point to strengthen his point. Now look back at chapter 4, beginning in verse 15, and we see why the therefore is therefore. We see that the coming of the Lord is to be a source of strength in keeping one alive for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This world is not our home. We're only passing through. We are pilgrims and strangers in the earth. The one who has saved us is the one who will eternally save us. He is coming back for his bride. He has promised, and it will come to pass. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, because we are in Christ and because Christ is coming, therefore let us not sleep as do others. If we sleep, he may come back, find us sleeping, the master of the vineyard. And what a shame that will be. Suppose a commander goes out into the battlefield and finds a soldier in his camouflage pajamas hugging his pillow. So the commander of heaven is coming back to the battlefield. He doesn't want to find his servants sleeping. He wants to find them awake in Jesus Christ. We don't want to be ashamed when Christ returns. He's coming as a thief in the night. And so Paul says this ought to be our motivation for staying awake spiritually. And we use that illustration with young children sometimes, teenagers especially. The parents leave the house and the parents give responsibilities to their young ones. I'm leaving and I'm coming back. And the teenagers may say, well, what time are you coming back? That's not for you to know. Just be ready when I return. I want you to do the laundry. I want you to do the dishes. I want you to take care of all these things before I come back. Well, can you give me an estimated time? No, I'm not going to tell you. Just make sure that's done. And the teenager bums around, warms some bagel bites, drinks some Pepsi, maybe watches some movies. And parents come back and nothing's been done. Didn't I tell you? Didn't I give my instructions? What were you doing? Lounging? Taking it easy? And so for some Christians, that's how it's going to be. What have you been doing? I've saved your soul. I've gave you instructions on how to live. And what will be the response of many Christians? There will be no legitimate excuses, only shame. So the Apostle Paul is stirring the church up. Don't fall asleep. And one of the ways that falling asleep spiritually can be prevented is by constantly remembering that the Lord is at hand. Constantly remembering that this may be it today. His coming is nigh. Paul says in Romans 13:11, "And that knowing this time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." This is no time to sleep because the Master is coming back. Spiritual slumber is prevented by continually remembering the Lord is coming. Spiritual slumber is prevented by zealously protecting our heart and our actions. Notice what he says. He says, "Let us watch and be sober." What is Paul referring to? Watch. Watch what? What does Paul want us to watch? Watch the clock while the preacher goes on Sunday morning? Is that what he wants us to watch? I've got the roast in the oven. I hope he's done here. Watch what? Paul wants us to watch our hearts. The word watch means to give strict attention to. Women, you know what this means. As your husband watches the college football game, they're giving strict attention to it. You may say something, they're zoned out. That's what Paul is saying. Give strict attention to. Watch what? Your hearts. Proverbs says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." Watch your heart, because your heart sometimes chases at the false gods and idols of the world. Watch it. Bring it back in. Submit it to the Word of God. Watch your thoughts. Philippians 4:8. "Whatsoever things are true and honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, think on these things." Watch your heart. Watch your thoughts, because what you think will lead you what you will follow. Watch your words. The psalmist says, "May the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable." James tells us that our tongue is very powerful. It's a world of iniquity. We need to be careful how we speak. God forbid that we should speak that which is sweet and which is bitter. At the same time, cursing and blessing. We watch these things. We watch our actions. How are we living for the Lord? Watch. You remember Jesus in the garden? Mark 14. "And when he came to the disciples and found them sleeping physically," there's a picture of here of the spiritual slumber, "and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? And then he said, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." We don't want to fall into the temptation of being asleep spiritually, so we need to watch. But then Paul says we need to be sober. Sober means to be abstinent from that which makes one drunk. And there are many things that make people spiritually drunk. How much time did you watch your TV set this last week? How much time did you spend on Facebook? How much time did you waste searching whatever on your iPhone? How much time did you read your Bibles and pray? Spiritually drunk? Could it happen? Absolutely. To be sober is to abstain from that which keeps us from doing what Christ has commanded us to do. It's possible to be drunk with sports. You guys still with me this morning? Are you sleeping? Is this too convicting? Maybe we should start the altar call now. Jesus says, Luke 21:34, "And take heed to yourselves, watch your hearts, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unaware." Watch yourself, because you may find yourself in a thousand different avenues that do not lead to God. And those avenues may not be bad in and of themselves. They may not be inherently evil or sinful, but you may be walking therein nevertheless. Watch. Be sober. Spiritual slumber is prevented by zealously protecting our heart and actions, and it is prevented by continually remembering the Lord is coming. And then spiritual slumber is prevented by humbly receiving the preaching of the word. What is Paul doing here? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. What is Paul doing? Paul is preaching through letter. A preacher always preaches, even when he writes letters. And in the context of the letter, the Thessalonian believers will remain spiritually awake so long as they humbly receive the exhortations from the Apostle Paul. They have two choices with this letter. They can say, Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. Take it or leave it. Or they can say, Paul is concerned for us. He's a spiritual father. He wants the best for us. He's concerned that we may fall asleep spiritually, so we need to take heed to these things. Spiritual slumber is prevented by humbly receiving the preaching of God's word. Do you realize that God has ordained preachers to be spiritual alarm clocks? Do you realize that? Look at the Old Testament. What are the prophets? What is their concern? Their concern is speaking what God has told them to speak, despite if others hear it or not, despite if others want to hear it or not. Listen to Isaiah, first chapter of Isaiah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. What is he? He's a spiritual alarm clock. Listen. He's blaring his voice. This is what God says. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the donkey his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Oh, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. And he continues, verse 16, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment. You can see, what is Isaiah? He is an alarm clock. Israel, you have gone backward, you have left the chief shepherd, you are the sheep. In fact, you're acting dumber than animals. Wake up! What does Jeremiah do? Jeremiah does the same thing. Jeremiah says to the nation of Israel, you have played the part of the harlot against God. Haggai says, believers, your focus is off. You have been building God's, or you are supposed to be building God's house, but all your energy and effort has been going into your own house. Consider your ways. What is he? He's a spiritual alarm clock. What is James? You spiritual adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? What is James doing? He is blaring the word of God to waken people out of their slumber. In exhortation after exhortation in the word of God, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Deny ungodliness and worldly lust, so that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Bridle your tongue. Flee fornication. Listen, the word of God says. True gospel preachers, clothed by the Spirit of God, are spiritual alarm clocks that are graciously given by God for your sanctification. This is what Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 12 says. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for what? So that they might have something to do on Sunday mornings? Because they're bored? so the poor people can get a paycheck? Why do we have pastors and preachers and evangelists? For the perfecting of the saints. For the edifying of the body of Christ. So with that said, don't get mad at them. Be thankful for them. Imagine one getting angry at their alarm clock. Taking a baseball bat. Why did you wake me up? They grab it and throw it against the wall, responding negatively to that loud sound, when the alarm clock only wants to help them awake so they can be at work on time. The owner is the one who purchased the alarm clock in the first place. The alarm clock did nothing wrong. The owner was the one that set the alarm clock at the specific time he wanted to awake. The alarm clock didn't set himself. Why then do we get angry at preachers when we are the ones who have submitted ourselves to their leadership? And if they are sincere, humble, biblical preachers, their true desire is only your spiritual growth and maturity. Do you realize that? Unless you have some scoundrel, some false prophet who's lording over the congregation, if he is truly a biblical, gospel-centered preacher, he is not preaching for himself. He's preaching for the Lord first and foremost, and for the good of others. And listen, the preacher, if he's truly a God-called preacher, did not choose to be a preacher on his own. God called him. It is not the pastor's delight to waken people up out of sleep. It is the pastor's duty to waken people up out of their sleep. I purposely say this because as a preacher, I have witnessed the wrong reactions to the preaching of God's word. The pastor preaches, as Paul tells Timothy, reproving, rebuking, exhorting with all longsuffering and doctrine. Sometimes there are members who are sleeping who become angry at the alarm clock. The pastor sits down with a brother or sister in Christ who he sees drifting into a spiritual sleep, and graciously seeking to provoke them unto love and good works, they hastily find a different church. In many ways, the pastor is like an athletic coach. An athletic coach is one who points out faults. You didn't run the play correctly. You need to pick up the pace. A coach is one who critiques how others are playing. He instructs and instructs sometimes straightforwardly and with strictness. And if he's a good coach, he only does this for the good of the player and the good of the team. Now, I played athletics, and sometimes that mean coach's face would look directly at me, and I thought he had something personal with me. He was only trying to make me stronger. If we don't understand these truths as a player, you will take criticisms and lectures personal. You will grow embittered rather than striving to be strengthened by counsel. Spiritual slumber is prevented by humbly receiving the preaching of the word. The Thessalonians could take this. What? Paul thinks we're sleeping? Let us not sleep. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's not even here. He doesn't even see what we do all week. What does he just tell us? Well, Paul only wants the best for you. Read the first couple chapters. Read of the love oozing out of his heart. He wants them to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. He does not want them to fall as others have fallen. And so he's just giving a warning. Sometimes I'm reminded of these things. After a long day of traveling to the grandparents, a long day of kids playing at the park, visiting their cousins and coming back late at night, they've fallen asleep in their car seat. But I have to take them from their car seat to their warm, comfortable bed. So that means unbuckling and carrying them into the house. And sometimes they are in such a deep sleep that when I try to take them from the car seat to their bed, they become alarmed. They lose it. Mentally, where am I? I was sleeping sound. What are you doing to me? Why are you carrying me? This is cold outside. I don't want their back to get stiff sitting in the car seat all night. I am trying to help them go from this uncomfortable car seat into their nice, warm, comfortable bed. When I see them lose it, then they don't mean to. They're obviously out. I always think of the parallel of pastoral ministry. Some people lose it when you lovingly confront. They lose it. They go crazy. They go bonkers. Because they're in such a deep spiritual sleep. You're only trying to move them to the spiritual warm bed of heaven, if you will. For some reason, they think you're against them. We must humbly receive the preaching of the word. Paul seeks to awaken believers out of spiritual slumber, not only here in this letter. We find it also in Romans and Ephesians and 1 Corinthians. As I've mentioned, Romans 13:11, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Spiritual slumber, we could sum it up, is prevented when believers strive to remain alive in Jesus Christ. Well, I have given you contextual exhortations of Paul, namely, remembering the Lord's coming, zealously protecting our hearts and actions, humbly receiving the preaching of the word. It's vital for us to remember that our Christian life is not about our obedience to commands. It is about being united with the person of Jesus Christ. So if we want to prevent falling asleep, we must stay active in dwelling with Jesus Christ. The Christian life is not about rituals like the Catholic religion is. The Christian life is about loving, adoring, worshiping Jesus Christ. We don't want to fall asleep spiritually. What should we do? We get our hearts in the book and we grow to love him more. Now, can I give a word to those among us who are more mature in age? Now, I have read and I have observed that one's age does not necessarily reduce the temptation of falling asleep spiritually. You may be in here and you think, well, I'm over the age of 50. You're talking to the wrong crowd, little pastor. I'm 50, you're only 30. I'll never fall asleep. Well, just because you're older in the faith does not mean that you are less likely to fall into a spiritual slumber. In fact, many times those who have been Christian for many years become lethargic, not because of their age, but because of their spiritual complacency. Some in their old age foolishly think, I don't need to read the Bible daily for my personal sanctification. I've heard the Bible taught most of my life. I don't need to actively serve the Lord. I have served in various ministries in past years. I've got the 10-year reward badge, see? I don't need to fervently pray. I don't need to fight unbelief and spiritual indifference. I can handle my own Christian life. I'm strong enough, I'm mature enough not to fall into a state of spiritual slumber. More times than not, we find that senior saints who give in to such thoughts are those who fall victim to falling asleep spiritually. And I know, senior saints, you long to pass the baton off to the younger generation, but until their hand is on the baton, we cannot let it go. And until we are called home to glory, we still have a work to do. So with that said, let me conclude. Do your actions display this morning that you are spiritually awake or spiritually asleep? Yet don't answer yet. Because all of us tend to think that we are spiritually alive and everybody around us is spiritually asleep. If I were to have raised hands, and I'm not, don't do it. How many of you think you're spiritually awake? I think most of us would say, yep, I am. How many of you think you're spiritually asleep? I doubt maybe anybody would raise their hand. Let me ask you, how's your relationship with God's Word on a daily basis? This will tell. The typical worshiper here this morning, this week alone, spend hours in front of a television, computer, phone. Does your heart burn with love for the Bible? Are you finding great comfort, delight, and guidance through it? If not, you may be falling asleep spiritually. How do you approach the gathered worship of God? Is it a dread or a delight? Something that you long to go to or something that you put up with? Do you anticipate what God has to say in His Word, or do you complain about the length of sermons? Are you one who grumbles at the pastor's sermons? It may be that you are asleep spiritually. How about your life? How about your relationship with others? What do you spend most of your time thinking about? How do you speak with others? Are we merely playing church? Maybe we're sleepwalking. There's a lot of sleepwalking going on in our day. People just going through the motions. I've always grown up in church, so 11 o'clock, that's where I go. I've got my pew. Somebody sits in it. I'm going to tell them, get out of my pew. This is my tradition. This is my routine. But there's no hunger and thirst for Almighty God. You may be spiritually asleep. There are many warnings given in Revelation. One is the church in Laodicea. God said that this church grew to be lukewarm. And God says in their lukewarmness, He wants to spew them out of His mouth. And I think spiritual slumber is united with lukewarmness. And so the warnings are given to us so that we might prevent falling into such a danger. We might prevent having the same testimony as the Laodiceans. And the only way to escape our spiritual slumber, John tells us in Revelation, is to repent. Turn from our sinful ways and turn unto God. Repent. Sardis had a name that it was alive, but it was dead. It was asleep. May that never be so here at Calvary Baptist Church. Paul gives us the preventatives. May we remember the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. May we guard our hearts. May we humbly receive the preaching of the Word. Our Father, thank You for the clearness of the Word of God. Lord, these things have been such a challenge to my heart this past week. And if I am honest before You and honest before our church this morning, many times I feel myself falling into a spiritual state of relaxing. Help us to be alive and alert. Remembering the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. Help us to diligently put our hands to the plow so that we might see souls for Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we pray that Your perfect work would be done in every heart and every soul here this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.